produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Shine on. You know it, come on. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church. Lay down.
To me.
To me. Come on, Bishop.
And
Number 1, you found them, you say, amen.
Amen.
And if you hadn't said, hold up, wait a minute. Amen. Found, let us read together. I'll be reading from the New International Version, which reads like this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Just for a little while, look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I'm coming to your house." Amen. You may be seated. Somebody looking like, "I don't want you to come to my house." Thing that I love about the Gospel of Luke is Luke is about putting Jesus with regular folks. He's about Jesus walking and living among those whom he's going to save. The thing I love about Luke is that we have in his picture a Jesus who understands what it means to deal with certain situations. That's the reason why you love Jesus the way you do. Because he being God, he understands your situation. He knows what it means to feel what you feel. He knows what it means to see what you see. He knows what it means to touch what you touch. And that's the beautiful thing about the God that we serve, is that God's offering to bring Jesus down from heaven and put him in and wrap him in flesh, and he dwelt amongst us. And that's good news for us on today, is that we don't serve a God who does not understand. We don't serve a God who cannot dry every tear. But not only does he dry every tear, but he understands what causes those tear ducts to form. We don't serve a God who does not understand what it means to be sick, because he's walked among sickness. He's seen sickness. He's had to heal from sickness. And I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but I just want able to keep you. He's able to uphold you. Why? Because he deals with what you're dealing with. He sits where you're sitting. And I'm talking to somebody in here today who came in here looking to know that God still cares about you and wants to know for sure that God still hears you, that God still feels your pain, that God still will walk with you down through the valley and through the shadow of death. I ought to have some witnesses in the building on this morning that can testify that the God that I serve is able to keep, because he feels my pain. Amen. Not only is Jesus walking amongst them, but he's coming to save all people. The Gospel of Luke is very intentional that Jesus is there to save everybody. And that's good news for us on today, my brothers and my sisters, is that it does not matter how much money you have, how little money you have, how much education you got, how little education you got, where you live, where you don't live, where you want to live, who you're living with, what you're doing, is that Jesus can save you from anything, anywhere, and at any time. That you don't just have to be in church and he'll save you, but somebody know that he'll save you on the street. He'll save work. I ought to have some people to say, not only will he just save me, not just from a spiritual standpoint, but he'll save you from losing your job. He'll save you from losing your mind. I ought to have some witnesses in the building who can say, he'll have saved your wedding. He'll have saved your marriage. I ought to have more witnesses in the building who ought to be clapping along, because there's some stuff that the Lord has saved you from that nobody else can do it. Am I talking to anybody in here that's got a testimony to say that nobody else can do it? I couldn't lift myself up. I couldn't pay my way. I couldn't drink my way. But the Lord had to step in for me. And here's this short man who's got a similar testimony, saying that the Lord has a way of saving even the most least of the most unlikely people. Zacchaeus, in our text we learn, is a short man. He's under 5 feet. Not only that, but Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. All right, what does that mean? is that that means that he's the head, but he's got other tax collectors who report back to him. Okay, let me see if I can make this modern for y'all. Let's see if I can put this in a way for y'all to help. So he literally is the boss and has underbosses under him. And the crazy thing is that the underbosses who we see in people like Matthew, right, when God calls Matthew from the tax tables and sends him and makes him a disciple, that literally, this is how he got rich, is that the tax collectors would collect the taxes from the people. And the chief tax collector, being Brother Zacchaeus, took it a step further. Because not only did he charge the tax people, but then he charged the tax collectors their own tax.
Okay.
That's gangster.
Yeah.
That's like the plug of the man who supplied the drugs, had the people go sell the drugs, but then he gonna charge you interest off what you sell. That's gangster. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't think gangster started with Al Capone. Not only is it gangster, but it's unethical. Because scholars would tell you, he didn't have to charge the tax collectors extra money. He was just greedy. Let me tell y'all something. People get caught up on what you do. But let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, it's important that we understand that ethics are still important. We live in a society that does not value ethics or people living ethically. How do you know that? Because our past president showed you that you can be unethical and still rise to being the president.
Amen.
Ethics have gone out the window. Well, some young people ask, what are ethics? I'm glad you asked. Ethics are the oughtness, literally how you ought to behave, how you ought to conduct yourself, how you ought to be where you are when you get there. Ethics is that thing that keeps you there. Ethics is what keeps your integrity. That's the reason why doctors, lawyers, and businessmen, whenever you see them talking about, or journalism, you hear the word that they're not practicing good business ethics. They're not practicing good law ethics, meaning that they're willing to step outside of the lines in order to get a result. But my thing is that people think that when you step outside the lines, that it'll get you where you're going faster. But I've come to let somebody know it may get you there, but it won't keep you there. Because the same stuff that you had to do to get you there, you got to keep doing it to stay there. And then you got to look over your shoulder to see who picked up what you're doing that's trying to take your spot and trying to get you out the way. When if you do it the right way, it may take a little longer. It may take you in a different path. But the thing is that at least you know that when you get there, you can stay there. Because when you get there, you don't have to worry about it's the IRS looking over my shoulder, these people looking over my shoulder, because you've done things the right way. And I came to let somebody know that if you do it the right way, you're doing it God's way. And if God allows you to get where you're going, he'll keep you in that same position. He'll hold you in that same position. When others want to take you down and want to take you out, the Lord will move them out of the way, and he'll still keep you there. I ought to have some witnesses in the building who can testify that when the Lord elevates you, there's nothing that no devil, no hell, no man, no woman can do to take it away from you. Have good ethics. Practice good ethics. We focus on morals, which are laws and principles. But folks don't practice ethics. He's unethical. Then people don't like him. Because when you don't do right, folks ain't gonna like you. Can I just keep it simple with y'all? When you don't do right by people, they will not like you. Period. not like your job, but they will respect you. Whatever you do in life, my brothers and my sisters, make sure that you do right by people. But here's Zacchaeus. He's got a problem. Because even though Zacchaeus is doing unscrupulous things, even though Zacchaeus is doing things that are wrong, he still wants to see Jesus. Let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters, that just because folks are doing wrong and not doing what you think that they shouldn't be doing does not mean that they don't have a yearning and a burning to be close to God. But the problem is that the God they want to get to is the one that they see in you, and the one they see in you is judgmental, the one they see in you is sadity, the one they see in you is highbrow, the one they see in you is the one who won't accept them and love on them and be able to pray for them and pray with them. Instead, they see the judgmental, frowning, scowling type. They see the one that's always pointing the finger and don't realize two more could be pointed at them. They the ones who seeing that their stuff don't stick and walk around like they ain't never committed a crime or a sin before. But I came to talk for some folk who say that if they see the God in me, they'll see a God who's loving, a God who forgives. Because guess what? The same God that forgave them is the one that forgave me. The same one that'll clean them up will clean me up. The same one that blessed me will bless them. And don't you know that a lot of times that you can get in the way of God showing up for somebody else? Zacchaeus says, I want to see Jesus. Heard about it. Because last time I heard, he came to Jericho and he healed that loud Bartimaeus. And if he can heal him, I got to see. That just because you're doing wrong does not mean that you don't have a yearning and a burning to be close to the Master. As a matter of fact, when you're doing wrong, you have a show enough need to want to be close to the Master. Hello, somebody. So, here's Zacchaeus. He's got a problem. Crowd don't like Zacchaeus. So they're not going to try and help Zacchaeus see Jesus. It's a press. And I can imagine folks in the press saying, we ain't letting him see you. Who he think he is? Short man got to go. No. All right, we ain't going to help you. What you going to do, tax him too? But Zacchaeus, even though he's unscrupulous, he's not without some intelligence. He knows that he is gravitationally challenged. Y'all get that on the way. He knows that he lacks some things. But he finds a sycamore tree. Now what's so interesting, Mr. Johnson, is that Jericho, some scholars call it the city of palms, because it's got a lot of palm trees. But Zacchaeus knows that if he climbs on a palm tree, he's gonna fall. Palm branches can't hold his weight. So instead, what he does, Mother Campbell, is that he finds a sycamore tree. Something that is solid.
Yeah.
Something that is made for climbing. And some of y'all that used to climb trees, y'all know certain trees that you climb.
Yeah.
Certain trees you stay away from.
Yeah.
Certain trees you knew the time of year to climb.
Yeah.
Certain trees you knew in the wintertime, I probably need to stay off that tree. And the reason why you climbed the tree and you were able to judge the tree is because you knew how the tree looked. You knew how big the tree was. You knew how sturdy the tree was. And so what happens is that what Zacchaeus does is that he used the sturdiness, the base, he uses the knowledge of the sycamore tree, knowing how it's firm, how it's made for climbing, and climbs on it, and he gets a way that he can see Jesus. Okay. How is this significant for us? I'm glad you asked. Because my brothers and my sisters, is that I want you to understand something. That when you've got it, and you've got a solid foundation, you have your feet established on the gospel truth, it's your job to help somebody else and prop them up. When they fall short, you can lift them up so that they can see Jesus. Oh, Oh God, can I say that one more time? When you have your feet planted, we like to say it all the time, right? Make sure your anchor holds and grips the
side.
Right? So here it is, that you are standing on a firm foundation. You stand on a solid rock. That when you have your feet planted, I don't know if y'all ever seen how a tree works, right? That I did this in my meditation, right? That I do it and I look at a tree. And I look at a tree and I see how a tree is planted. And that's the way I ask God to do me, right? Because as like it says, the Bible says that you shall be planted like a tree by the rivers of water, right? So I want to be planted. I want to be solid. Because the thing is that you know when folks aren't planted and they aren't solid because they always moving. They always saying one thing and doing another thing. They never can just stay still. They always moving from this place to that place. They always want to go from this church to that church. Hello, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to. They can't sit still in their ministry. They don't know what it is that they've been called to. And but sometimes you got to just sit down and tell God, just plant me where you want me. Because wherever I'm planted, that's where I can bloom. It's hard to be planted. It's hard to bloom somewhere if you're not planted. And what is the root of planting, Lee? Is that when you're planted, that means that you got roots that have sprawled out to the ground. I don't know if you've ever tried to cut a tree down before. Maybe Minister Johnson can be a witness to this. But when you're cutting a tree, it's easy to cut the tree down, but it's much harder to uproot the tree, because the tree can easily be cut down to a stump and then things start sprouting out from the stump. But when you want to uproot a tree, that means you got to dig, you got to break some ground. And the problem that I see is that it's too many folks who aren't planted and have roots on anything, but instead just want to move with the wind. How can anybody see Jesus if you aren't first planted? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get somewhere and sit down. It ain't the church, it's you. So if somebody hurt your feelings, you go on to the next one. They won't let me sing. I'm moving. Stay where you're planted. Get some roots, and then let those roots, because trees don't grow up, they grow down first. So let those roots spread out, and then begin to let yourself grow up and stay where you are. And the crazy thing is that when you are planted, you are rooted, then you can help somebody else. Then you can be a blessing to somebody else. Then somebody can be able to see Jesus. Maybe they can use your testimony, and that'll spring them up so that they can be able to know, maybe I need to serve that same God. Maybe they'll look at the fruit that you're bearing, and you're giving them the fruit of joy, of peace, of love, of mercy, and they're experiencing it. And they say, I want to be able to produce that same fruit, because you are the tree that they use to see Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you going to be that tree to help somebody see Jesus? So Zacchaeus gets on the big sycamore tree, because the sycamore tree can hold his little behind up. He can grip it, sit on the tree, sit on the branches, and he can see Jesus. Gets up there. And I love Jesus, because Jesus walks by the same tree Zacchaeus is on. And he looks at him and he says, Zacchaeus, come on now. Today, I want to stay at your house. A couple things and I'm done. We gotta go. First, he tells Zacchaeus, he calls him by name. That really messed me up. Never met Zacchaeus. The scripture doesn't say he ever met Zacchaeus. Scripture never say that he ever had an encounter with Zacchaeus. And I asked myself, how is it that Jesus knows who Zacchaeus is? Of course, my spiritual mind is like, of course, he knows him because God knows us all. Gotcha. But I'm preaching Luke. I'm not preaching John. Luke is not about him being necessarily being the Son of God always at all times. But when I'm preaching Luke, I got to realize Jesus is amongst the people. And so Jesus is walking and being amongst the people. I can imagine that, first of all, Zacchaeus' name is not the best name that's in the town. Then I can imagine that if they like us, we're going to complain about the joker that did us wrong.
And the thing is, we'll lift up something worse than we ever will lift up something good. What you mean, Reverend, is that don't you know I work at UM Moving Service and Stores, right? Don't you know that people quick to get on there and talk bad about us, but sure won't be quick enough to actually put a good name out there. What you mean, Reverend, is that I learned something, that people will blast your name when you do wrong, but be slow to lift your name when you do right. Hello. We as a people are addicted to having to break down people rather than lifting them up. We call that a crabs in a barrel mentality, right? That's one way I know he knows Zacchaeus' name. Second reason I know is because if they ain't people like us, they're like, boy, look at old Zacchaeus looking up there looking dumb. Look at him. Don't he look like a fool up there on that tree? That fool gonna fall down and hurt himself. Why are you doing that, Reverend? It's because I'm trying to make the Bible live for y'all. Because the problem is, we take the Bible and we don't allow it to live. We don't let people to actually be real people. We don't allow them to actually live real lives and say real things. I'm just telling you, because one thing I've noticed is that folks have, some things about people have not changed. I don't care if it's a millennia, 2 millennia, some stuff will not change. Folks will talk bad about you. Folks will talk about you. Folks will talk around you. Folks will beat your name down. Folks will hurt you. That stuff has not changed. So here's Jesus. Hearing about this chief sinner of all sinners up in the tree, just happened to be there. He's walking by and he sees him in the tree. Now, what's so significant about a fig tree is that in Luke 13, Jesus has just talked about how the fig tree was cursed because it did not produce fruit. But here in Luke 19, here's a man, Mother Campbell, on a branch. What is fruit grow?
Branch.
Fruit grows off the
branch.
But trees produce
fruit.
Branches. Come on, y'all. I know I'm not the only somebody that ever picked fruit off a tree. That you get tree, that if your tree grows and it has branches, because those branches are supposed to be able to help what make what comes off the branch.
Fruit.
So fruit's growing on the branch, but the fig tree is cursed because it does not grow any fruit. But here's a man on a fig tree, and Jesus tells him to come down. Okay, let me write it down. I want y'all to see. Literally what Jesus does is that he walks, sees the fig tree, and picks the fruit off the tree. Because fruit's got to come in order for it to be. Okay, all right. Let me show y'all. I know Sister Mine's getting ready because she grows a garden. So, if Jesus said the fig tree that does not produce fruit needs to be cut down. But here's a fig tree that's got a man who needs Jesus in his life. And Jesus knows that if I can get him, then I can get some more folks. And so what Jesus does is like a good farmer. He sees that he sees Zacchaeus not what he is, but he sees Zacchaeus what he can be. And what Zacchaeus can be is a good, useful piece of fruit. And so what Jesus does is that he goes under the tree, picks his fruit, and brings it down. Okay, what does that mean for me? Is that my brothers and my sisters, it does not matter how the world sees you. It does not matter how your family sees you. Because your family, the world, your child, people around you may not see you as being useful, may see you as being worth to be thrown away, but it matters how God sees you. That God never sees you where you are, but God always sees you for where you can be, where you're going, and what's in your future. And God always looks at you beyond where you are right now. What does that mean, Reverend? That's good news for you. Because where you are is not where God wants you to be. It's not where God is going to have you to be. My brothers and my sisters, that's the reason the verse says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for those that love him. So here it is. You don't know what's in store for you. You don't know what's up the road, but God knows what's up the road. And as long as God loves you, God bless you, there's no place that you cannot go. They see Zacchaeus right. Jesus sees it as right. Hello, somebody. They see him as being right. But Jesus sees him for being right. Because Jesus knows that if I can change him, it's going to change other folks' lives. Don't get ahead of me. Here we go. Take Zacchaeus. And I love it that Jesus invites himself into Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus doesn't say, come have dinner with me. Come. No, no. Jesus said, I don't want to have. He said, watch the language. I want to stay at your house. Normally, somebody would invite you to their house. But Jesus says, no, no. I'm inviting myself into your house. Oh, God. Oh, good God Almighty. And I love it, too, is that, watch this, is that Jesus, watch this, my brothers and sisters, is that he doesn't ask Zacchaeus, meet me on the mountain. Meet me where I'm comfortable. But he says, no, no, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming where you eat. I'm coming where you lay your head. I'm coming where you cuss, where you drink, where you act a fool. I'm coming in there. I'm coming through the door. I want to just come in your house. And my brothers and my sisters, that's the problem I see with so many of us. We don't want Jesus to come into our house because we don't want him to change up some stuff. But I'm coming to be a witness to let you know that if you let him in, he'll move some stuff around. He'll change the trajectory of your family and your finances. Am I talking to anybody that can say, Lord, come in the house? It's in the house. He doesn't wait for an invitation. He just shows up. The thing is, if we want to save folks, and want God to save them, you got to go to where they are. That's all I was going to say. If we were outside. The reason we outside is because we want to come where you at. Because I believe that Jesus can save you outside like he can inside. So here's that case. Jesus comes. And Zacchaeus says, yes, sir. Come on. But not everybody is going to be excited about what God is doing for your life. People aren't going to think you're worthy to have what God wants for you because of who you are or what you have done. But I come to let somebody know you got to look beyond what others are thinking about you. Can't live your life concerned with what others think about you. When you do that, you live your life to please them and not please him. Zacchaeus moved beyond what they say. Jesus moved beyond what they say. Comes in his house. Now watch this. I told you Jesus saw him as right. How do you know that, Reverend? Because Zacchaeus stood up and said, I'm going to give half of my money away to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody, I'm going to give them 44 times more back what I took. Normally, you only had to pay 20%. But Zacchaeus says, I'm going to go beyond that. Okay, remember why did you say he was right? Because y'all missed it. That by the Lord coming to Zacchaeus' house, he was able to help other folks around Zacchaeus. What do you mean? Is that the folks that he took money from, now he's going to be a blessing to them. So you got to understand something, is that when the Lord saves certain folk, it can actually be your blessing too. That here it is. Zacchaeus that robbed you, took your money, took money out your house, and now here he coming back knocking on your door, giving you 4 times back what he took. What are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that my brothers and my sisters, when the Lord blesses the right fruit and he picks the right fruit, that fruit can be a blessing to other people. That's the reason why you're in the position that you are in. That's why you are who you are. It's because God made you to be a blessing to somebody else. I hope y'all see. We see how it blessed Zacchaeus, but we don't see that when God freed Zacchaeus, he was now able to cause financial freedom for a whole lot of other people. Yeah. That's the way God works. Let's go. This is it. I'm done. So, get Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says, if I have taken anybody's money. Now, I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Zacchaeus, you know you took the photo. It's not a question if you did not take that money. You know what you did. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you see, a lot of times we miss the point of the parable because we think it's just about Zacchaeus. We think we miss the point of the story because we think it's just about Zacchaeus. But the point of the story is for all of us. What you mean, Reverend? Because Zacchaeus' name literally means in Hebrew, righteous. So what are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that literally Zacchaeus is us. We are Zacchaeus. Sometimes we come up short. What you mean, Reverend? Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. We all come up. We don't always do the right thing. Sometimes we take advantage of people. Just keep your eyes in here. What you mean? You take advantage of their kindness. You take advantage of what they're doing. A lot of times we forget to even just tell folks thank you. Sometimes we can be just like Zacchaeus and have the audacity to call ourselves righteous. But you come in every Sunday because you want to see Jesus. Oh, good God from on high. We come in here every Sunday because even though we come up short, even though we fall short, we still want to see. We still want to be near. We still want Jesus to show up for us. We still want Jesus to come in our homes. We still want Jesus to come on our job. We still want Jesus to come in our marriage. We still want Jesus to come in relationships. We still want Jesus to come in the city. We still want Jesus to come in the world. We still want Jesus to show up for us. And my brothers and my sisters, if you be honest in here, you ought to be glad that the Lord has a way. And when you come in here, that the Lord has a way of saying, guess what? I'm coming by your house. I'm coming to your address. I'm going to come free some stuff. I'm going to heal some things. I'm going to shake loose some chain. I'm going to lose some mindset. I'm going to shake loose some money. I'm going to move some people out of the way. And is there anybody that wants Jesus to come to your house? That's fine. Jesus tells him, I'm glad because today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, he is a son of Abraham. And that's good news, y'all. Because the Bible does not say, Minister Travis, whether or not Zacchaeus had a family. We don't know if there were any Zacchaeus Juniors or any Zacchalinas. Or any Zacharios. Or any Zach-Zachs. We didn't know if there's a Miss Zacchaeus. We know he's rich. So that means he's got some servants. That means he's got some cooks. And that means he's got some folk that do whatever he tells them to do. But I'm glad on this morning that Jesus said, because of this one man, salvation has come to the house. And oh, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know that all it takes, that all God needs is one? Because if one gets in the house that knows who Jesus is, then the thing I love about Jesus is that Jesus is infectious. What do you mean, Reverend, is that when you call the name of Jesus, it just does something to your spirit? And am I talking to anybody in here that still haven't caught that infectious bug? Let me try it one more time. I said that when you call on the name of Jesus, it ought to do something to you. And do I have anybody in here that when I call on the name of Jesus, it just stirs something on the inside that'll start moving and it'll show up on the outside? Let's try that one more time. I said that when you call on the name of Jesus, it just does something to you. Why is that, Reverend? It's because demons tremble at the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Just the mere mention of his name will cause angels to start moving around. But can I talk to y'all? What does Jesus do for you? What does Jesus mean to you? And I told you here in this text, it only takes one person to have Jesus in the house. Because eventually what will happen is that if that one person calls on his name, if that one person believes in who he is, if that one person lifts up one prayer in the name of Jesus, I have a feeling, matter of fact, I got it on good authority that if just one somebody calls on the name of Jesus, he'll bless the whole household. Then you'll still see that the one person who was going to church by themselves make it one more. Then all of a sudden, you got two people calling on the name of Jesus. Bodies are being healed. Blessings are falling down. And two will become three. Three may become four. Four will become five. Five will become six. Six will make eight. Eight is great. But let's take it to 10. 10 will make 12. 12 will make 24. 24 will make 48. And am I telling anybody in here that knows that it's something about Jesus? When he gets in your house, hell can get out. Trouble got to go. Sickness, see you later. Doubt got by. Fear gone. Do I have anybody who's glad that Jesus will come to your house? Won't he do it? Won't he do it, Mother Smith? She got a shown-up testimony to say that if he gets in the house, he'll turn your family around. Does anybody have that same testimony that God will? Won't he turn them around? Won't he pick them up? All of that cussing will start turning to praise. All of that fight will start turning into shouting. All of the dope dealing, turn them into deacons. Do I have anybody that knows that if you got Jesus, you got what you need? Say, yeah, yeah. Who you got? You got the man. He died, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Say, yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.